Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you from Africa today, from Kenya, West Kenya, and we're having a beautiful sunny day. The rains are starting to diminish, and so we're going more into the dry season for 2 or 3 months, and then in July, late July, August, we'll start rains again, the short rains, they call them. We're happy to be bringing a message of Pentecost to you today. This is one of the great messages in the whole Bible, one of the more encouraging, uplifting messages in the whole Bible. And beloved, you can know Pentecost. You can have your own personal Pentecost, and you can have the Holy Spirit to walk with you, talk with you, abide with you, counsel you, and give you strength, give you peace. And so that is our subject today. And so we're going to be starting in Acts chapter 1. And this is the time when Jesus is walking with the disciples. This is after the resurrection, 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus is mingling with the disciples. He has been seen by many people, up to 500 people in one instance. And so he has counseled the people, he has counseled the disciples, the apostles, and now he is giving them final preparation before he ascends into heaven. And the final preparation includes this instruction that they will be receiving the Holy Spirit just as it was promised to them. And just as Jesus keeps his promise in every circumstance, in every situation, not only to the apostles, but he keeps his promises to us and to you. So too, he kept his promise here after telling the apostles about the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit came, and so he was faithful and true in every detail regarding the Holy Spirit. Well, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, the apostles, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so Jesus said, the time is coming, and it's not many days from now. The time is coming for you to receive that which the Father has promised to you. And I'm not going to go back into all the teachings that Jesus made to the apostles about the Holy Spirit, but you can read that on your own. Go back to John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Those three chapters are the teachings, or encompass the teachings, of Jesus Christ when he is teaching the apostles about the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14, 15, and 16 in the book of John. And so Jesus was teaching them just as if any teacher would teach a subject. And of course, the apostles were very ignorant and green about all of this. They did not know what he was talking about. They only knew that he said, "I'm going to be leaving you, and I'm going to leave a helper with you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to leave a helper with you." And so he said, this helper will teach you the truth in all things. This helper will counsel you. This helper will be your advocate. He will advocate for you when the devil comes against you, when the devil accuses you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, will be with you to advocate for you, to protect you, to counsel you. And so Jesus had spent time teaching and telling the apostles about the Holy Spirit. And now before he is ascending into heaven, he says it's coming in just a few days, not many days from now. He says, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Well, we know the word baptized means to be fully immersed. It comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to be fully immersed. When we talk about baptism in water, we talk about being fully immersed in water. The Greek word baptizo means to be immersed fully. It's not a sprinkling, it's not a spattering, it's not a small amount, it's a full immersion. And so that's what Jesus says. You're going to be baptized. You're going to be fully immersed with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Well, those words that he spoke to the apostles on that day about the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a fulfillment of prophecy that had been spoken many years before. And I'm going to speak about that in just a minute, the prophecy of Joel in the Old Testament, when Joel said that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all mankind. And I'll be speaking about that here in just a minute. But also, all of the Gospels of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels written from the perspective of the apostles and speaking about the life of Jesus Christ, the life, the events, the circumstances of Jesus Christ, all of those Gospels spoke about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how it would come and how the people would be baptized or fully immersed with the Holy Spirit. Well, in Matthew 3:11, Matthew talks about it. He says, this is a quote from John the Baptist in the book of Matthew, Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so Matthew speaks about that. John the Baptist has spoken, and John the Baptist, you know, was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. He was out in the wilderness, out in the Jordan River, baptizing people for remission of sins, baptizing them for repentance. And so he says, I'm doing this baptism in water for repentance, but there's one coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And of course, John was talking about Jesus Christ, who was his cousin. He's talking about Jesus and the baptism that Jesus would be doing. And Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Well, in Mark 1:8, the second gospel, there is a reference also to the very same thing. I indeed baptize you with water. This is Mark's version, speaking about John the Baptist. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Okay, going on over to the book of Luke, Luke 3:16. John the Baptist answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then in John, the last gospel, John 1:32, and John the Baptist bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. The Holy Spirit remained upon him. He's talking about remained upon Jesus Christ at his water baptism. And verse 33, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, on whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Well, John, again, was out in the Jordan River baptizing for repentance. And this man, Jesus, came to him. And John says, I did not know him, but the Lord spoke to John and said that this one is the one who will be baptizing with the Holy Spirit. And John says, I have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. Well, John the Baptist fulfilled his mission. He was arrested for speaking truth to the king. He was arrested and thrown into prison, and he gave up his head. His head was cut off. And so John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John said, I must diminish and he must increase. And so at the time when John the Baptist exited the scene, Jesus Christ went into full ministry and the ministry of Jesus Christ then led up to the cross and his sacrifice of his precious blood for our salvation. Well, so John the Baptist was speaking about that which is to come, which was prophesied way back hundreds and hundreds of years, probably about 700 years before Jesus walked this earth. There was a prophet named Joel, and it's just a short, small book in the Old Testament, the prophecy of Joel, just a few chapters. And Joel spoke in Joel 2:28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, there it is, friends. That is the prophecy from the Old Testament, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus Christ walked this earth. Joel spoke that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out. And sure enough, just as Joel spoke it, and just as John the Baptist also spoke it, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind on the day of Pentecost. And so that fulfillment of prophecy is a great blessing to you and I. It is a great blessing to the body of Christ because we have the Spirit of the living God residing with us. We have the Spirit of the living God being our advocate, our counselor, our comforter. And so we know that God is with us because the Holy Spirit is with us as we walk and as we do our daily ministry. We have the Holy Spirit with us to walk with us and to guide us. Well, back to Acts, the first chapter, and in verse 5, the apostles say, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Because they were under Roman domination, they were under Roman rule, and so it's a big concern of the apostles. How are we going to get out from under this yoke, this heavy burden that the Romans have put on us? And Jesus said in verse 7, "And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power," verse 8, "you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the end of the earth." And so Jesus said, you're going to receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be powerful. You are going to receive power, and this power will enable you. It will propel you. It will compel you to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the end of the earth. And beloved, we know reading on in the book of Acts, that is exactly what happened. These apostles who were running scared just 40 days before, they were scattered at the resurrection. They were scattered. They were running for their life. They were denying Jesus Christ, that they even knew him or knew anything about him. And here it is. Jesus is saying, you're going to have power. And as we read through on into the book of Acts and different epistles of the Apostle Paul and the other books of the Bible, we know they received that power. We know today that we can receive that power. And so that power that Jesus promised with the coming of the Holy Spirit, it will cause you to want to witness for Jesus Christ. It will cause you to want to witness for the kingdom. And you cannot sit still. You will not be silent. You will want to go out and tell the good news. You will want to go out and witness. And beloved, nearly every one of these apostles, all but the Apostle John, were sacrificed or gave up their life to spread the gospel, to spread the truth of the gospel. And so it makes us and compels us to want to commit our lives to spreading the gospel. It makes us and compels us to want to make great sacrifices and go to great lengths to share the good news of the gospel. And you would not do this if you did not know the truth of the gospel. You would not want to risk your life. You would not want to give up your life. You would not want to give up your comfort and the ease of life that you have there in America. And so this power that the Holy Spirit brings to you or brings upon you will cause you to be witnesses. And he says in first in Jerusalem and then in Judea and Samaria and to the remotest or the end of the earth. Well, Jerusalem, you could say, is your nearby locale, maybe your city, maybe your neighborhood, your village. And then in Judea, which is the larger territory, maybe the state or the nation, and then in Samaria, which was on down the road, and that was the half-breeds, that was the people who were not pure Jews, and then to the end of the earth. And so as some of the apostles also went to the end of the earth, one of them went to India, and some went into Africa, some went into Asia, different parts of the known world at that time. And eventually, of course, we know that the people who received the Holy Spirit went into all the parts of the earth. Now there's missionaries in every part of the earth. There's missionaries in every country. And here in Kenya, we have many missionaries all over, scattered out all over the country. And we have mission organizations that are quite large that sponsor quite a few missionaries, not just here in Kenya, but all over Africa. I've met missionaries in every country that I've been in. And so the Holy Spirit has compelled and propelled those of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit. It has compelled us and propelled us to want to share the good news of the gospel with people all over the earth. Well, verse 9 in Acts 1. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, Jesus was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And these two men said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And so Jesus told them to wait. They were obedient. They went back into the city of Jerusalem, and they're waiting. And Jesus said, it's going to come not many days from now. And so they believed him. They trusted him. And on the day of Pentecost, it came. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out. On the day of Pentecost, all of that which had been promised to them was given to them, and it was given in a great flourish of fire. And so now we jump forward to Acts chapter 2, and the disciples and the apostles with some other people. There was about 120 people gathered in the upper room at this time, and they are waiting. They've been waiting for 10 days. They are praying. They're waiting. They're all in one accord. And sure enough, just as Jesus promised, just as the prophecy of Joel promised, the Holy Spirit came on this day of Pentecost. And there were many Jews, if you can picture the scene, that the city of Jerusalem was filled with hundreds of thousands of people. They were gathered there for the Feast of Pentecost. They came from many countries all around the known world. And so this time of Pentecost is a very important time for the Jews to gather in Jerusalem. And so the apostles had been obedient. They're waiting. And then here we look in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And this is the account of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There then appeared to them divided tongues as of fire And one sat on each one of them, or one divided tongue sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so a few things that we can note from this description, from this passage of Scripture, is first of all, they were all with one accord. They were like-minded. They were there for one purpose. They weren't playing around on their cell phones. They weren't playing around on Facebook. They were there in prayer. They were there in devotion to what the Lord had asked them to do. And so they were there to receive the promise. They were looking forward to it. Their minds and their bodies were together in this place. And in verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Well, beloved, that rushing mighty wind can still be heard today. The sounds of heaven can still be heard today. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then when the mighty rushing wind came, it says they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and each one had a tongue, had divided tongue, sitting of fire, sitting upon them. Well, I preached a crusade in Kibera in Nairobi way back in 2011, and we did a five-day crusade in the Kamkunji ground, and it's a very despicable place in terms of human habitation. Kibera is the biggest slum in Africa. About 400,000 people live in a slum in very, very wretched conditions. A lot of open sewage ditches and lots of trash everywhere. Lots of drugs and prostitution and lots of poverty. It's all poverty, actually, is all it is. And so the divided tongues of fire came upon those people. My driver, when I got into the car on the first night, after the first night of the crusade, my driver said to me, "Jim, the Lord showed me, he opened up my eyes to see into the spiritual realm, and he showed me tongues of fire coming down and resting on each one of the people that were out there at the crusade." And there was about probably 300-400 people that first night out there at the crusade, and we had 800 salvation decisions by the end of the week. But the crowd that first night was 300-400 people, and the Lord showed this man that the divided tongues of fire was resting on each person out there, just as it happened in the day of Pentecost. I've actually seen pictures taken with a digital camera at night at crusades, and you can see the very same thing, or I have seen the very same thing, of tongues of fire sitting on people's head, just as described here on the day of Pentecost. And so it says then, there were tongues of fire sat on each one of them, and verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, we'll be talking about that more next week, the speaking with other tongues. People get very nervous when people start talking about speaking in tongues, but it's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. Other people aren't making it up. God gave the people at Pentecost the gift of tongues, and they were able to speak in languages that they did not know, that they'd never studied, that they did not understand. And so God even does that today. For those who have a personal Pentecost, you can receive language, a language, or maybe several languages that you don't know and never studied, because the gift of tongues comes from the Lord God Almighty. Well, this is a study that is very exciting, because it will propel you and encourage you to share the gospel, to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and even unto the remotest part of the earth. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I thank the Lord for this ministry. I thank the Lord for the provision over the many years for these radio broadcasts. And I invite you to support this ministry, not only for the radio broadcasts, but also for the projects we have going in Africa. We have a children's home now with 12 orphan children, and we have our church ministry and This radio broadcast can also reach people in Africa, and so we invite you to partner with this ministry that we can also be witnesses in Africa and even to the remotest parts of the earth as God gives us the provision and the good health and the harvest field as He lays it out before us. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for contact information. And we invite you to partner with this ministry. Stay tuned for contact information at the end of this broadcast. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.